Philippians 4 and 6. We need to change the mindset once in a while because our minds, like hard drives, can get cluttered with a lot of stuff that needs to get deleted, right? So Paul writes to the church, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, that's the introductory part of my text, and I'll get to the rest of it in just a moment. Father, I know it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, and we're grateful. May your Spirit guide us and direct us, give us the word we need to hear, and heal us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul's saying, don't sweat it. In these last and evil days, we need to pray more. And if we would just pray as much as we worry and spend our energy praying, my goodness, we would be a lot healthier and better off and more at peace in our lives. He said, when you pray, don't pray repetitiously, but pray with thanksgiving. Put on a thankful heart, knowing God is going to work everything out in our lives. Thanksgiving month, we should have Thanksgiving Day every single day in appreciation for who he is. And we're to pray with faith, not allowing fear to grip us, but let our faith in the Lord direct us. Here's the rest of my text. So watch this. Then, having done what Paul said earlier, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then God, the God of peace, will be with you. He says, let your mind dwell on these things. Where does your mind dwell a lot of the hours of the day? Where do you get focused? You have to practice overcoming worry. You have to practice overcoming fear. You have to practice praying with thanksgiving. And when your mind gets negative, you have to practice thinking on good things. So it's a disciplinary act of choice that we make to change direction mentally, taking control of our minds with the help of God. Changing a negative hard drive, because sometimes they get corrupted. The word says that our mind is the greatest battlefield. Our men and women in uniform are fighting in parts of the Middle East, and it's certainly a war. It's not a game. We have been in a war now for the longest period of time ever in our history. And the war I'm speaking about today is about a war for your mind. That's a continual war. The enemy wants to get you into fear and get you off into worry, to isolate you, to depress you. Then the enemy attempts to control us with all the negatives and aspects of our lives that are around us every single day. The word says that your spiritual enemy does everything he can to capture our thought process. And that's why we have to learn to get our thoughts aligned with the truths in God's word. Before you act anything out, your mind thinks about it first. And many of the problems we have are due to negative thinking. Since we wrestle not with flesh and blood, the enemy doesn't come to us in a physical form, but we wrestle with powers of darkness that we need to know that war for believers begins and is practiced in our minds. Are you listening today? Successful people think differently than unsuccessful people. That's spiritually true as well as business-wise. And if you're going to see your life improve, you're going to have to take control of your thought process. You have to begin to think on good things. If your life's going to improve, you're going to have to overcome negative mindset, most of us are born with that negative mindset. We drift in that direction. Our spiritual enemy has a way of bombing our minds with nagging thoughts and nagging fears and keeping us awake and disturbing our rest because he causes worry and we cause ourselves worry. It's kind of like a cruise missile. The enemy just zeroes in on our negative thinking and explodes a bomb right where you're most vulnerable. He has a way of feeding fear and doubt and unbelief. He has a way of causing you to become untrusting and suspicious of everything and everybody. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, everything begins with a thought. Solomon put it like this: as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the way you think is the way your life is going to be. If your life is off track, it's because thinking is off track. And where you're going is the result of what you're thinking. So if you want to get your life turned around, if you want to get life improvement going, you have to start changing the way you process the information. The enemy plans strategies against you in order to set up strongholds in the mind. His plan is to take control of the thought process so it's always defaulting to negative. That's why Paul said to think on good things. I choose to do that. You can change the way you think if you make up your mind. You're going to start thinking about all the good God's done for you. The enemy begins this with us at a very early age. Injustices take place in some childhood. Maybe your siblings were unfair. Maybe your parents favored a sibling over you. We did a little study on that, and we're still in the middle of that on Wednesday night with Joseph. He was favored in his family. Maybe your family favored one gender over the other. There's a reason why you don't trust men. There's a reason why you don't trust women. And if you continuously live that out, you're going to learn to destroy every single relationship in your future. Quit living in the past. I said, quit living in the past. Amen? We don't want the smell of smoke accompanying us. It did not accompany the three Hebrew boys when they stepped out of the burning fiery furnace. There was not even the smell of smoke on them. But some people have been through fiery trials, and you can still smell the smoke. Yeah. Maybe you were raised by an unfair parent. Maybe you were raised by controlling parents. As a result, your attitude today may be, no one is going to push me around. Nobody. Maybe you had a lazy dad or an absentee father. One you didn't respect. And if you're going to let go of all these issues, God will help bring life back to you. He'll give you help. Amen? If you'll forgive and let things go, he supernaturally has ways of making up to you what the enemy has stolen. The enemy does everything he can to cause you to think negatively. His plan is to get you to live in discouragement, to steal any joy and steal your future. And if the enemy can cause you to think your life is hopeless, then he can steal everything you have. Am I preaching right in here today? Just check. Okay. Most people are born with a negative thought life. But successful people, somewhere along the way, have learned how to process good thoughts. Somewhere along the way, they've learned to overcome the negative aspects of what we call stinking thinking, right? The word tells you over and over to not be discouraged or to be dismayed. God tells us that in this world, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. He said, I have already overcome for you. So here's what that means. Jesus has overcome, and he has empowered us to also be able to overcome. So if you're going to overcome, you have to control those thoughts and the way you're thinking. I was sharing that with some of our cadets last week, how important it is when you're in a moment where your emotions begin to rise, and some of them are not always positive emotions, how by self-control you learn how to let the moment pass so you can make a rational decision. We have to learn how to process our thinking. In other words, we're supposed to trust God with all of our issues and never with a quitter's mentality. But I want to tell somebody, God's going to take you through the storm. You cannot allow all the negative thoughts to continue to brew inside of you. He's going to bring you out of it. And whatever you do, you cannot quit. So we've got to change our negative thinking. Tell somebody, change your negative thinking. Yeah, because everybody has to do that. So nobody here is exempt from negative thoughts. The enemy plays and replays these thoughts over and over in your head. And his plan is to control your thoughts so he can control your life. And that's why you have to continually renew your mind. How? With the Word of God. That's the only way you can reprogram your thinking. with God's word. And if you're going to change from negative to positive thinking, you have to get God's word consistently moving in your thought patterns. That's why every day, every one of us should be in God's word. We should spend time listening to what he says and get his perspective and know what God says about you and not what the culture says about you, not what people say about you, not what your ex says about you, not what your parents say about you. You have to find out, what does my heavenly Father say about me? So your potential is limited to your thinking. Your potential is limited by negative thoughts. With nagging thoughts about not being able to make it, you're not going to be able to finish well. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those things that have built a vice grip around your thought patterns. In other words, the weapons we use to defeat wrong thinking, they're not swords and spears. The weapons we use, God's word, the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, our faith, we need all of God's power we can access. You don't have to continue living a roller coaster life. You don't have to be controlled by old emotions that erupt in your heart. Your life will improve when you make up your mind. You're not going to allow emotions to take you in specific directions, because feelings come and go. They fluctuate with the conditions that are around us. And I told the cadets the other night, and I'm telling you today, that stop for a minute and think before you act on emotion, because in 24 hours, you're probably not going to feel the same way you do right now. And a week from now, you're not going to think the way you're thinking right now. And you could make a judgment based on emotions that could affect you for the rest of your life, endanger your future, right? So you improve your mind by not allowing your emotions to take you in certain directions. You allow God's word to take you to the truth in every matter. Think on what God has said about this certain situation, because in God's word, you have all the resources you need to face whatever challenge you may face in your life. But if all we do is fly by the seat of our pants and go by our emotions, we're going to have a lot of mistakes and a lot of misjudgments. If your thoughts are all negative, I guarantee you, your words are going to become negative. If your thoughts are negative, your actions are going to become negative. In fact, if your thoughts are negative, your entire life could end up becoming a big negative. Children of Israel lived 40 years in the wilderness because of their negative thoughts. They kept entertaining them. Then they kept speaking them. Every time there was a challenge, it was negative. God's forsaken us. We're going to die. Something's not going to happen the way we want it to. They kept speaking it until they all died in the wilderness. Poor thinking always produces poor results. Good thinking always produces good results. So how can you expect to have a great life if you're not coming into an agreement with the Word of God? If you've got a negative outlook on life, how can you be expected to walk by faith? How can you expect to have success in life if you have a negative outlook in your thinking? Your mind is going to tell you you're going to go through all kinds of trouble. Yes, there is a war and we're in it. Trouble in finances. Your mind will tell you all kinds of things like, you are not going to get through this. You don't have the strength to endure this. But my Bible says, God will always cause me to triumph in Christ Jesus. So no matter what it looks like around me, the Bible tells me I have a God who will take what the devil meant to destroy me and turn that thing around for my good if I'll trust him. I'm not saying that you're going to get everything you want by changing your thoughts. Some teachers teach that. No. I'm saying if you'll change your thoughts and come into agreement with the Word of God, he will work things out in your life. Your mind is in a war. It's in a battle. That's where the biggest struggle happens every single day. It's in a continual fight. And I don't know what it is that you're going through right now, but if you don't stop entertaining the negative, you're going to lose what God has for you in victory. It's a war. It's a battle. Every single day, you go to war in your mind. It seems that more people have been beaten down in life, and the more negative they seem to be when they grow up because they've had such a history of negativity when they were children. Because of our broken planet, we're a bunch of people who have been beaten down and held down. But we're in the process of learning to overcome. Breakthrough is coming. Amen? We're in the process of overcoming all the negatives that have happened to us in life. Good thinking will improve our lives. Amen? Say that. Good thinking will improve our lives. That's right. It's a war. And the mind is against the things of the Spirit. And the things of the Spirit are warring against the old nature we have in each of us. An all-out war. Romans describes it. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. My goodness, could you ever say it better than that? We cannot have a productive and positive life if we continue with a negative mindset. You can't be successful on your job with a negative mindset. You cannot be successful in marriage if you have a negative thought life. I don't believe you can get your life straightened out till you get your thinking straightened out. You can come up front and have everybody in the church praying for you. You might even fall on the floor in the Spirit. But when you get up, you still better change your thought life. Because good thinking will improve your chances for success. It doesn't guarantee success, but it certainly improves your chances for success. Paul instructs you to take authority in your mind. What does that mean? Well, when a negative, nagging, fearful thought steps in, you've got to say, I'm not going there. Then get in the Word and meditate on what God says on that kind of a subject. Think on good and pure things, because good thoughts bear good fruit. Bad thoughts bear bad fruit. Let's change our thinking. Amen? And since thinking shapes who we are, without good thinking, we're never going to reach our potential. Everyone knows that you have a purpose in Christ. He doesn't love one race more than another race. We all know that in Christ, we all have the same potential. But if you don't change your thinking, your potential will go out the window. His love will be the same. He will still love us, but the changing of your thought life is now dependent on us getting in the Word, making sure you take dominion over your own thoughts. And there's a reason why some people struggle to succeed. It has to have something to do with our thinking, the thought life, which then translates into the way we begin to live life. There's no question our past tries to shape our direction and our future. Your past may explain why you do certain things, but there's no excuse not to change. Your potential is unlimited if you'll change. I was talking to somebody not too long ago about that kind of change. His life was a total disaster. You know, he was an icon in the sports world. If I said his name, everybody'd know immediately who he is. And he had about every win that you could ever experience in the world of sports in which he played. And yet his personal life was a total disaster. Drugs, alcohol, children by multiple different women, just a total wreck of a man. And yet he said, when I finally submitted everything to my God and surrendered completely to Jesus Christ, he changed the direction of my life, changed the steps of my days. He changed the outcome. None of that would have happened without introducing Jesus. It became an unlimited opportunity for him to have a life change experience because of being born again, and not just born again, but taking God's word and making it a practice every single day. It changed the old patterns into new patterns. there's an area of your life that you need to change. And God's speaking to you about it. There's an area in relationships that you need to change. There's an area in your finances you need to change. There's an area in your job that needs to change. And if you begin to make these changes in the way you're thinking, you're going to make changes in the way you start behaving. Everyone has a bad attitude from time to time. Am I right? I said everybody has a bad attitude from time to time. However, attitude is the result of our thinking. Bad attitude is the result of negative thoughts. Good attitude is the result of good thinking. And there's a reason why some people succeed and some people don't. Success comes through discipline. Success comes through hard work. And the word says, study to show yourself approved. So he's speaking to those in preparation for ministry, and he says, study. You're not going to just walk onto a platform and everything's just going to work out in your life and all of a sudden magic happens. No, you have to study. You have to work at this to show yourself approved so that there's a blessing of approval on how you have developed. And then he uses the next term, a workman, which means there's hard work involved in this. And if you're going to obey the word, you need to be a reader to study the word. Successful people read God's word. You can, all throughout business history, you can read these stories. And as you begin to read, it begins to change your thought life. It begins to change the patterns and the way you think. You've never really met a successful person who didn't want to read. Many people don't want to read because they're too busy. I don't have time to read because it takes discipline to say, you know, I'm going to read a new book every 2 or 3 weeks. It takes tremendous discipline, and many don't want to commit to that. But success comes to people for a reason, and failure comes to people for a reason. And I love to read. So sometimes I got 2 or 3 books going at the same time. I'm going from one to the other, and I'm saying, you need to make some changes in your life if you're going to have the kind of growth and development, and it should be ongoing growth and ongoing development, and we should never stagnate. When you know God's plans for your life, you'll stop believing what the devil is telling you in those negative thoughts. When you know what God has for you, it'll help you get rid of the stinking thinking. Amen? It's one thing to set goals. It's another to reach your goals. You can set all the goals you want to, but how are you going to get there? If you don't change negative thinking, sure enough, you're never going to get there. Anybody here ready for change? Yeah. How many know that negative people are no fun to be around? Seems like cloud follows them wherever they go. You know what I'm saying? Negative people have very few friends. And when negative people are around, you really don't care what they have to say because you know it's going to be negative. How many know that negative people don't enjoy life very much? Can you be honest and say, speaking to me? Don't say it out loud, right? Can you be honest with yourself and take the mask off and say, wait a minute, I'm the negative person he's preaching to today? Your life will improve if you change your thinking. And when someone is negative, there seems to be a heaviness wherever they are. Even when good things take place, they seem to find something wrong. It seems like negative people don't enjoy their lives. If your life is going to improve, you're going to have to make some changes in the way you address life. If your life is a mess today, it's probably got something to do with the way you process information. If you're a Christ follower, you're going to have to learn to cast down certain thoughts and take authority in the name of Jesus. You got that authority. Before Jesus, you didn't. Now you have acquired the authority to control the thought process. Fruit of the Spirit, one of which is self-control. The Spirit of the Lord working in my heart gives me the ability to take authority. We've all had negative stuff happen to us. My goodness. But the answer is to determine I'm going to improve, right? Determine I'm going to make change. I don't care if you're 10 or 100, you have to start making changes if you're going to have success. Paul put it like this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Don't allow the negative stuff to remain there. It'll get in there, but kick it out. Get renewed in the Word. The Word of God is like a cleaner that you've downloaded onto your hard drive to go through the system periodically and clean the junk out, right? Get renewed in the Word. Be in church for quality teaching on Wednesday night. You need to be here for prayer when we call a prayer meeting. You need to make up your mind, I'm going to get my mind renewed. And never forget that your thinking plays a very important role in victory. If you don't have victory in your life, go back to the way you're thinking. Now, God wants a great awakening in California. Boy, do we need one. Amen? Goodness. And we need a great awakening in our culture, America. So we need to pray for those who govern us. Even when we don't agree with them, we need to pray for them. Our governor. We need to pray for our president and help them through our prayers to make decisions that please God rather than just please groups of people. Not what Hollywood demands, not what the left or the right is demanding, but what's the right thing to do on behalf of people. So we have a responsibility to pray that they have godly wisdom and direction, because each of them is going to stand before God Almighty and give an account for the responsibility and decisions they've had to make. So whether you like them or you don't is not the issue. Pray for them. Scripture commands the church to pray for those in government leadership. So God placed them there, allowed them to be there, and for whatever reason, he wants to accomplish something in the time that they hold office. Let's pray that God will bring the best out of each of them. We need a great awakening spiritually in our culture here and across our nation. And we can be on our way to heaven, yet live in total defeat if we have negative thinking going on inside all the time. We can come to church every day. We can be here week in and week out and have little victory unless we decide to think on what God has told us to think about. Think on the good things. Think about the good reports. Instead of all the negative stuff that the media bombards us with all day long. Man, you get saturated with that stuff. And what goes in, junk out, right? My Bible says, if God be for me, who can be against me? So if you're going to make progress, discover what God says. And if you're going to make progress, change the way you think. Your life will improve when you get negative thinking out of your head and out of your heart. Paul said, think on what's pure, what's just, what's lovely. Think on those things that are excellent. Think of those that are worthy of praise. You know, I climb into bed at the end of a day, and I've dealt with all kinds of things, all kinds of emotions, people's lives, ups and downs. Really early this morning, I got a text from a parent related to another parent whose child tried to commit suicide and needing prayer. I mean, the stuff that goes on, if you're in any kind of public work, you understand what I'm talking about. Stuff that goes on among the lives of people. And at the end of a day, I mean, it'd be really easy to lie down and your head spinning with all the negativity and stuff that's going on through the day. And it wants to take control. It wants to dominate your thought processes. So what I've learned to do is I'll listen to some worship and I'll allow the anointing of anointed worship to get into my heart and get into my spirit, and my thinking starts to change. It gets refreshed and all that stuff begins to leave. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In our culture, we're bombarded with all kinds of messages. And now we've got sexual messages that are in your face and in the face of our children everywhere you look. And if you're not careful, and you allow yourself to get self-absorbed with the kinds of messages that are being promoted in the culture in which we live, not unlike the culture of Sodom in its day, my goodness, you might be married to the right person, a wonderful partner, and you start thinking about being with somebody else that God's never wanted you to be with. The only preventative for that is you need to get your mind filled with God's Word and tear down imaginations that take you places God doesn't want you to go. Paul put it like this in 2 Corinthians, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God's told us what he wants us to do. It's not hidden from us. So anything that assaults what God wants us to do needs to get torn down. Exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We make our thoughts obey God's word. Ask God to guard your thoughts and your eyes. That David put it like this, I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. Come on, somebody, you can say amen here, right? You have to make changes. If your mind is thinking that people don't like you, think that's going to really make a difference in your life? If God is for you, it doesn't matter if they like you. Negative mindsets, everybody's against me. The whole world's after me. What a miserable way to live a day or your life. If you want to go to a new level, you have to change negative thinking. If you want success in life, you have to change the way you process information. Negative feelings produce negative thoughts. And the problem is you feel negative. Watch that feeling stuff. Then you allow all that stuff to go through you and process into the fibers of your being. You have to take authority over that. You can't go by feelings. You must go by the obedience to God's word. How many know it's a continual war in your life? Your feelings tell you one thing, and God's word tells you another. Your feelings say, you cannot. Don't you dare forgive that person. God says, forgive him again. Let go. Your feeling says, you can't afford to tithe. It's a continual war. God says, bring me the tithe and watch how I'll open the windows of heaven and bless your life. You can't live by your feelings. Depression is a result of living by feelings. Now, I know there's some medical and chemical conditions that can contribute to that, and they also need healing, but depression is also the result of wrong thinking. Nothing's ever going to work out for me. Depression is the result of thinking, my life is miserable. No one has ever had it as bad as I do. You can't believe it's like this. You need to say to that devil, you are a liar. Amen? Amen? Life is going to get better. And he may leave, listen, he may leave and never come back. But one way or another, God's still going to work it out. But if you become a complainer, you have to learn to turn that stuff around. And if you're a complainer, you have to learn to put on a heart of thanksgiving. I'm grateful. I'm forever thankful. Listen, for the air I breathe, for the sun rising this morning. Amen. Even for the times I bleed or there's brokenness in my life, I'm forever grateful to a God who's looking out for me. And so I lift my heart and my head and my voice and I thank him for giving me another opportunity. All complaining does is make everything worse and drives people away from you. And every single day we have to choose, live a life of complaining, a negative life, or live a life of thanksgiving. And whatever you do, don't say, it's just too hard being a Christian. Well, it's not for wimps, I can tell you that. Okay? Yeah, it's not for wimps. It is hard, but it's not too hard. Well, the harder I try, the worse it gets. And don't ever say, you know, life is just so unfair to me. I'm tired of trying. I don't know why God won't help me. What's the use in trying? God doesn't answer my prayers. You know, you give me a headache, right? I mean, you give me a headache. It's like, really? Can you stand on your feet? Huh? Can you? Well, thank God for that. Amen? Naaman. A great military genius in his day. He needed a miracle. He was a leper. He was untouchable and incurable. He had to change in order to be healed. He wanted to get healed his way. And God said, no. If you want to be healed, you're going to do what I ask. Well, I don't like what you're asking. Well, then live with your disease. And he said, no, I think I'll obey you. Okay? He had to humble himself in order to be healed. And if you're going to get your healing, you have to make some changes in your life. How many know when times come and you're going through a difficulty, your mind says, it's no use. Might as well quit. Might as well give up. There's one bang in the head too many. Your mind tells you, you can only walk by sight and not by faith. That's the way your mind thinks, right? Your mind tells you, you can't trust in the Lord, so you have to trust in some other things. Instead of changing wives, maybe you should do a better job with the wife God gave you. Yeah? Well, Pastor, I'm just so sick and tired of this job. I hate it. Maybe you should do a better job with the one you have rather than just keep changing jobs. Think about what you're saying and what it's doing to you at work and in your relationships and everywhere you go. A 17th century monk named Brother Lawrence, he found the answer to enjoying all the nitty-gritty, everyday, mundane things of life. He was a humble cook in a French monastery, but he authored a book entitled Practicing the Presence of God. It's a fantastic read. And he explained, he said, I was able to turn around even the most commonplace and menial tasks, such as preparing meals and washing dishes, into acts of praise and communion with God. And the key, he wrote, was not to change what you do, but to change your attitude toward what you do. When you begin doing these tasks, he says, realize that you are doing them for God. Use it as an opportunity to worship him through acts of service. When you do, you'll discover pleasure even in taking out the trash. And you have to say, amen, right? It's a mindset. It's how we think. The devil wants you to think that you're not intelligent, that you got shortchanged. He wants you to think you can never learn. You can always learn. He wants you to think there's something wrong with you, that you're an exception. Tell somebody, I'm smarter than I look. Amen? Come on, tell them, I'm smarter than I look. The word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The enemy wants to steal your joy and your peace and your future. Where you are today, you're not going to stay there, right? It's not where you're going to stay. Where you are today is not where you're going to stay. Not unless you choose to just stagnate. No, no matter where you are today, you don't need to stay there. You need to change the negative thoughts. It's a choice. You choose to trust God and what he says or your circumstance. Jesus came to give you an abundant life. Satan has tried to steal it and continues stealing it through negative thinking. The devil's plan is to cause you doubt God's word. It's not true. It won't happen for you. So you listen to his lies, and it might not look good today, but God did not create you to be a failure. It's only a matter of time until God turns that circumstance around one way or another. So if you love the Lord, there are going to come storms in your life. There'll be a war over your thought life. There'll be a war in your thinking if you love the Lord. Jesus didn't come to remove your opposition. He came to give you the tools to overcome the opposition. And I'll admit, it's not easy to change mindset when you've had a lifetime of negative circumstances. But you have to be determined. You're not going to go on thinking negatively for the rest of your days. It's a growing process. I'm constantly developing strength in areas where I've been weak. And if you're to be successful, you have to change the negative processing. You're going to be successful in marriage. You've got to change the negative processing. If you're going to be successful financially, you've got to change the negative processing. Listen, if you've got the wrong mindset, you're just going to walk in circles just like the Israelis did for 40 years until you die. You might be a Christian, but if you don't have the right thoughts, you will not have a victorious life. You'll have to give up stinking thinking. Your life has to improve by getting negative thinking out of your head. I'm talking about a mindset, about an attitude. It's what Brother Lawrence talks about as the monk, and he's speaking about, I could take all of this as negativity and getting all dumped on me, or give thanks to God and everything I'm doing. I'm talking about an attitude, ditching the negativity. So, listen, it might not look too good today, but I know God has a plan. Things might be rough at the moment, but remember this, Even I'm only looking at the now. God's seeing the end. He sees all of it. See, it might be rough, but I'm not going to let that be a thumb on my head that pushes me down. I will end this year going this way. Amen. Well, and maybe you've been so disappointed in your life, you're afraid to get your hopes up because every time you seem to get them up, they got dashed and you don't want to get let down again. Perhaps you had so much pain, you're afraid to face life again. Look at Joseph. He had 7 consecutive setbacks, any one of which could have destroyed his future, but he never allowed any of those to demolish him, and he continued trusting God until the day he became second in command of the greatest empire on the planet, and his dreams got fulfilled. If he'd have quit thinking, well, I'm going to get hit again, and it's going to all collapse around me again, that negative mindset would have destroyed the life and future of Joseph and the nation of Israel and the nation of Egypt and all the surrounding countries as well. You need to tell the devil you're a liar. He controls those negative thoughts, and he continues to pour fuel on them. You need to get your life turned around. You can do that starting today. You've been in the desert long enough. You've been in the wilderness long enough. It's time to get turned around. Been too long in the desert. It's time for refreshing rain. And I'm here to tell you, you've been down long enough. You've been spinning around in circles long enough. It's time to stop that. Change is a catalyst for growth. If you want growth anywhere in your life, there has to be change. Change gets you out of the rut. And if you feel like quitting, who doesn't feel like quitting from time to time? You're just worn out, you're tired, you're fatigued, you're mentally overwhelmed, and in those moments you think, man, I just thought it's... If you feel discouraged and you feel you can't go on, then this message is directed by the Spirit of God for you. If you'll change your thinking, you can change your words. And if you'll stop being negative, you'll see your life get turned around. Because remember, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and you're going to get to eat its fruit. You can see God work things out in your life. Amen? How many know you can't change yourself? How many know that? No resolution's going to change you. But if you'll face the truth about yourself, the Word of God can change you. It won't happen overnight, but being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if you've got a problem, and it's in all that negativity that continues to gurgle and bubble in your life, don't be afraid to admit it. Say, God, I don't want to live like this. But don't go around saying, don't lie to God and say, I'm not negative. Admit it so you can quit it. Thoughts of premature death, thoughts of disaster. The devil will try to control your thinking because it's a war. Your success depends on who wins this war. And it's the devil attempting to steal your future. And here is the key that you have that neutralizes what he does. You've got access to God's word. Fill your life and your tank and your hard drive with God's truth. Get a hold of it and learn to pray the word aloud back to God. That's called a petition. I go to God and I say, here is what you said. You said this, and I've adopted it as mine. And I'm claiming it as my own. And my expectation is you will keep your word to me. And I'm going, and then aloud I pray that passage back to God. I pray the word. I can't pray more perfectly than when I pray the word of the living God. And I say to God, somewhere along the line, the devil's tried to lie to me. He's tried to interrupt me. But you've got a good plan for me. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm not going under because I'm going over. And you'll need to get hold of God's word and say, I can't lose with the word I use. Amen? Amen. I've been down long enough. I'm coming out of this. Every person here has weaknesses. For many, negative thinking is your weakness. But it could be a lust of the flesh or lust of the eyes, or pride of life, bitterness, unforgiveness, not trusting, insecurity issues. If you begin to search for your weakness, then you can begin to bring about the success of change because you apply God's word to the weakness. It's that weakness in your life, whatever it is, it could be food, it could be control issues, it could be jealousies, it could be I've got no organizational patterns in my life. If you begin to search out that weakness and name it and confess it and stop trying to cover it, God sees it, right? You cover it because you don't want to look weak. If you begin to search that weakness and confront it, God will strengthen you like you've never been strengthened before. Maybe your weakness is that negative mindset. You can't change yourself, but if you're willing to ask God for help, His Spirit is here to help you. You cry to Him. I cried to the Lord, and He heard me and sent His word and healed me from my destructions. If you could have changed yourself, you would have, but you can't. So you say, Master, I see my weaknesses. Help me. Come to Him with your list. Say, Father, this is what I need. He'll strengthen you. In these end of days, nasty things are happening everywhere you look. I mean, it's horrible, some of the things that happen. And that stuff will mess with your head. And we're in a war. And someone's going to win. And someone's going to lose. And the decision is ours because victory belongs to Jesus. Amen? So, let's all stand to our feet and give God some thanks for a moment. Let's